Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question: where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Earn Your Leisure. This is a highly anticipated episode. Yes. We get back in our second home, Atlanta, Georgia.
We keep changing the scenery every time we come.
Every time we come, we're in a different location, man. Shout out to all the good people of Atlanta. Shout out to all the good people of Georgia. Everybody in the South. It's our second biggest market.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah, so yeah. We got a lot of love out here. So, you know, on Instagram, we kind of gauge things to see, like, the public interest. So we first, a few months ago, put a story up that a town was for sale, like Tombsboro. And everybody was going crazy. It wasn't really too much details about it. Everybody was going crazy, like, yo, we should buy that, Black Wall Street, And then kind of just died down, nothing happened. And then, like, a couple of weeks ago, put a story up about 19 black families that actually purchased 97 acres, I think outside of that, in Wilkinson County, Georgia. And it went crazy. It went viral. Oof. Like, what's going on? And everybody was, it was all kinds of comments like, this is dope. This is New Black Wall Street. People like, no, this is racist. It's all black.
Yo, that was, yeah, it definitely went crazy.
It was
definitely crazy.
Social media is crazy. It was like 1,000 comments, like going back and forth with each other. So, you know, time had passed and Troy had actually reached out to me. Shout out to Ian.
Shout out to Inez too. As I was watching it, she texted me the CNN video that y'all had. I was like, oh, I'm already on this. I was like, oh, we got it. Shotty, you got to see this. Yeah. And so part of it was like, we said, yo, who wants to get them on? And like, yo, if y'all know them, hit us up. And our good friend, our partner, Ian Dunlap, was like, yo, I know one of them dudes. And he got me the number. He screenshotted me. He's like, yo, here's the number to one of them. Her name is Ashley. And I was like, bet I'm on it. I said, I'm on it. And so I hit Ashley up and she was like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, hey, I'm with Earn Your Leisure. I knew she didn't know who he was by the response. And so when we finally got to talk and she said, listen, I just spoke to my team and they know you and they love the show. And they said, we would love to do it. And they have to come. They have to come. So shout out to Greg and shout out to Kevin for pumping us up and following that, man, because that led to this. Sure. And your story is incredible. So I can't wait to share it with the world. Yeah,
for sure. So, yeah, so 19 black families purchased 97 acres of land, and they're actually building a community. And it was interesting. So this is what the conversation that we're going to have now. We have three members of the community. We have Ashley Scott, we have Kevin James, and we have Greg Mullins. And
very close. Yeah, very close. Shout out to G.
He has a brother named Greg Millings.
So, very close.
Yeah, it's very close. So this is just a really encouraging story. And, you know, if you follow Earn Your Leisure, you know we like to give the backstories. And I'm sure when people heard about this, it's one thing to say, okay, that's inspirational, that's motivational. But, like, what's the technical side? Like, how do you just buy a community? Like, how do you, you know, have plumbing? How do you have a farm? How do you have all this stuff? So these are, you know, hopefully the conversation that we can have. So first and foremost, thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, for sure. So let's jump right into it. All right. So how do we get the idea to buy a community? Because I was reading some research and it was like around the time, I believe around George Floyd situation. And, you know, it was obviously a lot of civil unrest and defund the police and, you know, group economics is a common theme. So how did this come about to say, okay, you know what? We're going to buy a community and build a community.
Yeah, because I'll be honest with you. When I saw the meme, I was like, that ain't real. But y'all saw it and said, let's take action. So what happened?
Well, first off, I always have to correct people. First and foremost, we didn't actually buy the town of Toombsboro.
Okay, yes.
We bought 8 minutes away from Toombsboro in unincorporated Wilkinson County. Mm-hmm. And so when we first got down there, we was just going to be nosy. We was like, somebody fitting to buy a town. Let's go see what's up. Myself, my good friend Renee, my friend Q, and her lover Steve, we all got in the car and we was like, we gonna go. I'm a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And it's always so important to network. And there was so much going on. I'm like, this is my neck of the woods. I'm going down there. So when Renee brought it to us, cause we're firm believers in affirmations. And so she's my accountability partner. So in the morning when Toombsboro first went viral, we were doing our affirmations and she was like, did you see the email I sent you about the Toombsboro going viral? I was like, nope, but if we can buy a town for $1.7 million, let's figure it out. And so when we got down there, it was interesting because I was like, it's going to be a lot of work. Like the buildings are in complete need of renovation, except for some of the residents. It was like 36 parcels, what's called an assemblage of land on 46 acres. And they were mostly commercial properties that needed some work. And one thing about commercial properties is it costs a lot more money to fix up a commercial property than a residential property, because the fees for contractors are substantially higher, and the permits and impact fees, all of the stuff that goes on with a commercial renovation is exorbitant. So we were like, okay, it's potential here for sure. Mm-hmm. It's about 495 people who actually live in the city of Toomsboro. It's predominantly Black. They have a Black mayor, a Black chief of police. So in my mind, I was like, there's definitely something here. There was like 50 other Black real estate agents, investors who were there at the open house that day. And from what we've heard through the grapevine is that a Black woman from Philly actually ended up purchasing that assemblage, but it didn't come with the town. Like, it wasn't the city. There's still a mayor. They got their own city hall. There's a whole bunch of other people who still live there. It was just 36 different commercial spaces and a few residential units. And in my eyes, for $1.7 million, I was like, this is still going to be a long haul to renovate. And we were like, let's look and see what else might be available, because somebody going to do it. It might not be us.
Right.
Somebody's going to do it. So it was just like, let's see what opportunity might be available. So right down the street, 8 minutes away, we found this 96 acres of land. It was at a price that I was like, you know what? If we get enough people together, we can easily afford this. Mm-hmm. And Renee, that's my ace. And we always talk about how important it is to have, you know, one or two or three together can go further faster, right? So she was like, yo, I'm definitely down. We can do this ourselves. And I was like, well, it was raw land, right? Like 96 acres of nothing but trees and land.
Georgia red dirt.
And so we were like, the infrastructure, like you said, how would we put water in, electricity? There is some road frontage on the main side of the street, but on the other side of the street is a dirt road that we would have to either work with the county to get paved or pave ourselves. So me being a business person, a real estate agent, I was like, it's going to be a lot of more infrastructure beyond just the purchase and acquiring of the land. And that's when we were in the car, we just looked at each other. I was like, I'm going to get 10 of my friends. She's like, I'll get 10 of my friends. And let's go ahead and buy this land and let's do this together. Let's build our own subdivision. Let's build our own community. And so at the time in the car, I didn't know that it wasn't Toomsboro.
Okay.
After we started doing our due diligence period, that's when we found out it was an unincorporated Wilkinson County.
So what's the difference between unincorporated and incorporated?
The big difference is the taxes.
Okay.
And whether or not it has a charter. And when you have a charter for an actual city that's recognized by the state, you now get state funding and state income that comes from your being a city.
Okay.
So all of the money that the state collects from sales tax, SPLOS, all the different ways that the state makes money, when you are actual charter based on your population, you get a piece of that money for your city. And so typically the county in the unincorporated parts, that is the jurisdiction of the county, and you only have to deal with the county and the state and not the city. And then when you have an actual chartered city, you got the city that makes the rules, has its own budgets, has its own city police, has its own fire departments. So by getting in that unincorporated part, that gives us the ability to start, write a charter, to start creating our own jurisdiction. Okay.
So then you would be able to create your own police force, your own fire department, your own schools.
Yes.
Everything.
Got you.
And you'd be able to have your own, like, political, how's that work?
Yeah, so it would be a mayor and a city council. You'd have your city manager, your county clerk, or it's not your county, your city clerk, your city judge.
So pretty much it was a plot of land that was under the county's, it's in the county, but it wasn't
under a city's jurisdiction.
No, it was under no jurisdiction at all.
Under the county and the state.
That's
so
it.
Some counties have more restrictions than others. And the good thing about being in the South is that we have this idea of not being involved in big government. That's really what the South really was fighting for. It's fighting for a lot of stuff. But this idea that you can't tell me what to do, I get to determine for myself how I treat my property, how I treat my business, my livelihood, my justice, my property. That's the ideology of the South is that we want smaller government and more control over our local politics, our local economy. That's that ideal. So the county doesn't have a lot of rules. They got zero zoning, no ordinances beyond a two-page subdivision ordinance. So when you are thinking about doing a concept like this, that gives you the room and the ability to create what you want, create your own laws. And we have the ability to do that. That's the American dream, is that we can create what we want. We can pursue liberty and justice how we choose. And being a lawmaker is our right. So we have to start making our own rules, making our own laws, and letting the law serve us for a change. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't come up with this. What happened was I watched the city of Stonecrest do it 2 years ago. Okay. And they've got a 98.9% African-American population. We got a dope black mayor named Mayor Jason Larry. 98.9% black.
What's the point one? Like, what is that?
It's a couple of white folks.
Okay.
You know, like one person. They, you know, the folks that had the land before we came and started building our city, because it's on the outskirts. It's east of Atlanta. And it's got beautiful landscape, Arabia Mountain. It's got the Stonecrest Mall. It had industry. It had resources. And we just took it over, essentially.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Stonecrest, City of Stonecrest.
How big is that?
Don't give me the line right now, because I don't want to misquote y'all. It's a decent size. If I'm not mistaken, it is one of the largest cities in the county of DeKalb County.
And DeKalb County.
Yeah, so DeKalb County still has the jurisdiction too. Yeah. And some counties are more hands-on than others. Like DeKalb's got big government here. Like they got a police department, jail. You have to be strategic. And so Wilkinson County, we've been having great, exceptional experiences with the sheriff there, with the county manager here. They're all black and they're cool, intelligent. Black excellence is what we found in Wilkinson County already. Mm-hmm. And it's a little slower, yes, but it's in that mode of wanting to develop. So we get to come here and we can help develop this county, which is really exciting.
So when you decide, like, yeah, we're going to do this, you're going to Wilkinson County to say, like, yes, we want this land. I want to take you back.
Not that I go to Wilkinson County. Wilkinson County doesn't own the land.
Okay.
There are people who own the land, like regular folks own the land. And so this particular piece of land was for sale, was listed for sale. It had been owned by or leased by a lumber company. Oh. So this is very wooded, it's raw land.
Seen it.
So, and it's 6 minutes away from the Oconee River. It's right along Balls Ferry National Park, which is a newly named national park. So there's just certain things as far as development is concerned that makes this an exciting opportunity.
Source of water is a big one.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask Kevin, let me ask you this question, because you're an entrepreneur. So, all right, I think everybody has like different skill sets, right? So you agree to be, you know, a founding member in this community. And but as an entrepreneur, you know, like no community can flourish without business. So did you think, okay, I'm gonna buy into this, but we need to have a store. We need to have a bank. Like, what's your thoughts on how to develop from the economic side of things? Like, as far as right now, it's just land, and then you guys are gonna build. So, like, what's the steps to actually get it up and running? The houses, the stores, things of that nature.
Got you. Well, to answer your first question, yes, I immediately started going into entrepreneurial mode. And I was just like, okay, well, let's start connecting the dots, you know? Kind of like you're building a house where you need to lay the foundation. That foundation is the land. Check. Now you need to put in your beams, your studs, your drywall, things of that nature. So we're kind of dressing it up. Definitely you need local businesses, you know? We said that we want to be the change that we want to see in the world. And we said it all the time, even on the Zoom, you know? We need an assistant. We need an accountant. We need this. We need that. Well, let's work from inside first, inside the group internally. And then if we don't have the skill set to do that, then we can go ahead and reach outward, you know? And that's the same thing with any business. You know, if you have somebody in your family that makes cupcakes, why are you going down the street to go buy cupcakes? You know, go have your auntie make it or what have you. So that was my whole thing when I got put onto it. Like, cool, I'm already doing this. Now we get to do this with 18 other people. That's,
yeah, I want to go with that number, 18 or 19, because I'm prior to hearing this, when I heard the story, I'm like, oh, okay. And Ashley, you kind of said it, like, I'll find 9 of my friends, you find 9 of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds great, like 9 of your friends, and like, okay, that's 18, and we'll all do this together. But you guys didn't know each other. What was that process of getting to know these gentlemen and these families?
Well, it's definitely a different process. We, like you said, a lot of different personalities are coming into the mix, and we were actually being introduced through Zoom. And so, you know, you don't really get a good feel of like how this person really is, how they talk when they're, you know, when you're around them and shaking hands and all that good stuff. So, you know, in the beginning, it was always love, because we always had the same motivation to, you know, to become this, to make this thing really, really big. And so it was, we had that going. And then, you know, as time went on, you know, as time goes on, you sort of learn the personalities and stuff like that. So you get used to people. And then, you know, most of the people are coming with their spouses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you have the men, like for instance, me and my wife are there. And you know, my wife knows Ashley, and so through me, you know, through her, I met Kevin and all the other guys and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, we kind of form a bond and kind of just go from there. It's like I said, we always have the same motivation, so we just stick with that. We all kind of just happened. We have the same extracurricular activities as well. You know, mm-hmm. we like the same, you know, books and same fun things that we do outside of work. You know, that kind of good stuff. So
this started as a Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
You know what, Shadi? I didn't get that invite.
I didn't get that invite.
No. Yo, come on! Like we missed that.
Yeah, that's a fact. So
not a lot of us people felt the same way though. Yes. Like there's a lot of people who looked up and was mad at us. Like yeah. Wait a minute.
But
like,
you know what I noticed? So a lot of people wanted more. For me, a lot of people, I feel a lot of people wanted more information than what we can give. But it wasn't. Yeah. But it wasn't even that we had it to give. You know what I'm saying? It was more like
just
a,
figuring out as you go.
We were figuring out as we were going on. Yeah. And if you weren't with that, then that, you just weren't with that.
And some people don't be with that. You know, there's different types of people. Like you got the people who just like, look, I just want to be with my friends. You got the people who like, I need to know all the facts. You
got
the people.
There were no facts to give. I'm just with it. It sounds like, you know, and then at the time it was like, you know, it's like, you know, like you were saying with the George Floyd thing, it was just so much happening. And like, yeah. For me, I just had to get away. I wanted somewhere I could to escape to. I'm tired of having to travel this here, there, and other just to get away for a little while. You know, I get to go 2 hours down the road to have that getaway that I so often need.
Yeah.
So like, this is what I'm here for. That's how it started for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look at it like we got drafted, right? And Renee and Ashley were the ones, you know, the commissioners, if you will. And they were like, you know, well, who would we want to be like neighbors with? Like, who would we see ourselves living with? Let's just go get a bunch of cool people and see if they want to get down. You know, and I was just blessed to be one of them, you know. I only knew Ashley. You know, I got on the Zoom and there were like 18 other faces. I was just like,
hey guys. Hey neighbor.
Yeah, and you know, some people are married, some people have spouses, some people have, you know, they went to high school together, and then there's me. You know, and they're like, yo, who is this dude?
Right.
You know, so we're still kind of working out those kind of dynamics, but it's all part of the journey. So, you know, I embrace it all.
That's dope. It's pretty dope. Actually, you were saying that, so you was telling me like the steps now, where you have to find an architect and you have to, can you talk about that? Cause like, it's one thing. All right. So you get the land, you get the families, everybody agrees to it. But now you just have 100 acres.
It's a lot of money.
Don't let that go over your head.
The step is to amass as much money as you can. Right. So listen, it literally starts with buying the land. That's the easiest part is buying the land. Setting up the LLC so that we could buy the land. We did that 2 days. That's easy. The harder parts are spending that money on the photographical survey to find out what the topography is and whether or not you can build. If it's too steep here, that means you can't build here. Soil samples. Percolation tests, water testing, environmental testing, environmental impact fees. There's always another step. And then because we have such a massive project, it's not just 100 acres. Like to be a city, we need at least 640 acres, a square mile radius. So you constantly like, okay, that means we got to acquire more land. So you have to negotiate the next conversation with the neighbors. Like, hey, neighbor, can I get your land so that we can get this puzzle piece going so that we can eventually have enough of the requirements met to push a charter through the legislation.
So if this is like building blocks, this is just the first piece. You have to still get a few more pieces to make it a city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got you.
And the people, because you got to have at least 200 residents. And so every little thing is strategic, and even the politics of it all, making sure that Wilkinson County knows that we're here to help uplift them. Like, we're here to add value to the county. If we can attract more people to the area, that means Toomsboro, Gorton, Ivy, all of those people, Dublin, they get to benefit from that economic development too, of now having more people in the area. So there's so many different things, but technically, yes, you have to get a civil engineer. From the civil engineer, he's gonna just do like, okay, this is your roads, this is your setbacks, this is your stormwater runoff, this is your wastewater management. A wastewater management system, state of the art, can cost $1 million.
Wow.
And that's if you're doing it like top of the line and you're trying to be eco-friendly, and that's our goal. Our goal is to build the best.
Yeah.
And so taking the time to research and find like, who is the best? Who is the person that can create, as a black person, because we want, because sometimes I don't want to put it this way, because I think we have enough talent to do everything ourselves. But sometimes the people who are most qualified might not be black. So then we have to look at, well, what does that look like when we have to go to an ally and say, hey, can you partner with this subcontractor or this sub vendor so that we can put some black people onto the project, because y'all the only ones who can do it? Because that's all of the types of things that we're navigating. Even when we talk about, we're going to have to put homeowners insurance on every single house that we build in Freedom. We would love to be able to put a black homeowner's insurance, be the writer, the person who writes the policy. Not the person who writes the policy, but the actual insurance agency. We don't have a black-owned insurance agency. We got Geico, State Farm. There ain't no black ones. So that's the kind of stuff that we're always thinking about when it comes to this journey of building a community that meets all of our needs and that is pro-black and allows us to really support black businesses in that way, because that's what our goal is. Every step of the way, we want to put black businesses on. And so looking at, how do we do that? How do we hire the best civil engineer, the best city planner? Because after you hire the civil engineer, he lays out the roads. Now somebody's got a plan. Okay, the subdivision's going to go here. This subdivision is going to go there. This is where the agricultural goes. This is where the industrial goes. And if we don't want to have polluted air, we might need to move industry way over here. If we need the, you know, wastewater management, and how can we utilize permaculture so that everything's regenerative? Like, we're having those kinds of conversations.
So I feel this is like, you know, Sims?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's why we brothers, man. I'm thinking the same exact thing. Shout out to Mike. Mike used to kill that game.
That was my favorite.
That's a fact. We used to catch him in the computer room in eighth grade.
That was my favorite. That was my favorite game.
Right?
That fouls. But so in Sims, if anybody's not familiar, Sims was a video game back in the days. It was a computer game where you can build your own city.
Yeah.
So this sounds like, it reminds me of Sims. So in your brain, I want to get all of your opinions on this. How do you envision your city looking? Like, right now, it's just land. But in a perfect world, if everything goes perfect, which nothing ever goes perfect, but what's your blueprint in your brain that you want a bank, you want a school, you want, what do you envision in the community?
All of the above.
As I say, y'all hit it.
All of the above.
And everybody's got a different vision. Like, when I think, because at the end of the day, I'm a realtor, so I always kind of go back to the real estate. So I'm like, it's going to be different subdivisions. Some kinds of, because I don't never want to live nowhere where every house look the same. But some people like the uniformity of, I want every house on my subdivision to look the same. And when I think about building freedom, I want people to have choices. I think that's what freedom is genuinely about. So if we got the misers that's like, look, I want a little subdivision where I can have my RV. We're going to put them way in the back. You can have, you know what I mean? Like, I see having different communities, different vibes. Where we're not all on top of each other, because it's rural and it's beautiful. Yeah. We've got a lot of wildlife, lots of animals. We don't want to run them off. We want to be as eco-friendly and as environmentally and naturally in harmony as we can, because the land is just gorgeous. So, like, it won't be a whole bunch of skyscrapers or none of that, because the rural beauty of this scenic landscape is the selling point.
Real quick, because I'm thinking, like, even when you said the waste management piece of it, yes, eco-friendly. But as you're building it, are you building it for the 97 acres first, or are you building it with the intent that, yo, we're going to acquire more land? Is that what the vision is?
We absolutely are doing it with the intent to acquire more land.
Got you, got you. And the other part was, you said 200 people have to live there. How many acres does it have to be?
So technically, because we're still under the jurisdiction of Wilkinson County.
Yeah, so is it a state mandate or is it a county mandate?
So it's a county mandate typically. Okay. But so this is raw, right? So they don't have everybody out there in this area that they told us, we thought Toomsboro was the boondocks. They told us where we bought land was the boondocks.
Right.
They were like, oh, you in the boondocks. I was like, sir, you think we?
Wait, what?
So they're on well, they're on septic right now. So county code means that anybody who builds there has to have at least an acre, a minimum of an acre to put your well and your septic tank on for your home.
A what, like a water well?
A water well. Water like well. You got to drill.
Yeah, we're from New York, so that's...
Portal.
I was like, what is that?
Tell me about it.
Yeah, and so, excuse me. So we do have, you know, awesome technology. Like, everywhere I go, like, I shout out to Moses West. He has atmospheric water generation technology that literally separates the hydrogen and oxygen particles from the air to generate thousands of gallons a day. His technology is a piece of technology that they utilized in Puerto Rico to bring fresh water to Puerto Rico after the hurricane hit. Mm-hmm. So, like, we have Black excellence all around us. And so being able to implement those kinds of technologies is what we want to do. That's why when I wrote my Black Blavity piece, my op-ed, I said we can have Wakanda. Like, we really can. Like, the sky is not even the limit. Like, anything we can conceive, we can create. And there are so many people already out here doing it dope, like, doing some dope things. So being able to attract those kinds of resources and those kind of people has been the most exciting part about it, and which is one of the reasons why we went public. Because everybody always talk about, you know, on conversations on social media, like, people talk too much. Y'all should have kept it to yourself. And I'm just like, but we would not have inspired a generation, people all over the world. We wouldn't have been able to attract the resources. People like, look, I will help you do this because they want to see this succeed, because we had so many Black cities that were burnt down. Completely destroyed for no reason other than white aggression and jealousy and misdirection. Yeah. And so this is a chance for our ancestors do something that can honor them, because they were so talented. They had so many dreams, so many prayers. Yeah. And to be the answer to those prayers is what this moment is about.
So I'm going to ask all three of you the question. And Ash, I've heard you speak about it before, but the importance, and you use the word, a safe haven for Black families. What does that look like? And how does that come about? I guess all three of you can answer, really.
All right. So growing up, like, I'm from New York too. And we used to have the Pledge of Allegiance. This is what I was saying on the Zoom, but the Zoom, the audio went out a little bit. Pledge of Allegiance. You stand to your feet, you put your hand over your heart, turn to the flag. All right, I'm going to spare you the words, but at the end, it says, liberty and justice for all. And that wasn't really reflected in my neighborhood. I was a little confused growing up. You know, like, every day you brainwashing us to say this, but that's not what I'm seeing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where's the liberty and justice for all, the all part, you know? So I guess I started my path to just kind of go down and have it make sense for me eventually, you know? So networking, that's how I became an entrepreneur. You know, it didn't feel right, you know, going and making somebody else rich and, you know, getting the peanuts and not really getting the respect that I needed. Like, I'm running this company, you know what I mean? So just trying to make that make sense, you know? So I do that with my family, with my friends, with people I meet, strangers, you know, because that's the change I want to see in the world. So I live that, you know? So that's what that looks like for me. People that have a vision that may not have the support that they may need. You know, it's tough being an entrepreneur. Y'all know. You know how many
You just had a flashback.
My mom still wants me to be a pilot to this day. Sorry, mom. It's not happening. You know, but for those people who need that support, that's all it takes. You know, you have a vision. You may not have the little components that you may need, but your neighbor might have it. Your cousin's friend might have it. You know, somebody you went to high school with might know somebody. You know, get that network together, right? And then you can achieve that, you know. But the key thing with that is getting the right mindset. So we don't want that kind of mindset in our land, in our world, you know. Mm-hmm. That mindset is everything. It is everything, you know. If you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right.
Both right, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got to thank Ashley again for, you know, we talk even before this, you know, offline about a lot of different entrepreneurial experiences and things that we wanted to do. But it's because of the mindset. I wouldn't have conversations I have with her with, you know, my neighbor who doesn't have the mindset for it. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's the kind of people that we want to see. That's the safe haven. When we say the safe haven, it's not only from police and things of that nature, but it's from all forms of oppression. Oppression is not just police. You know, that could be negative vibes from a spouse or from a loved one or from your boss or from your neighbor, your parents, or from whoever. Mm-hmm. You know, so a place where you can feel free to experience life and you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff and you can really focus on your dream and your mission. You yes. know, so, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because we're going to be needing a lot of help. So mm-hmm. we're here today too to reach out, you know, like, you know, people of like minds, if this is something that speaks to your soul, speaks to your spirit, please reach out to us, yeah. you know, please reach out to us.
Well, a safe haven for me, you know, similar to what you guys were saying as well. You know, I have an 8-year-old son and a 9-year-old nephew that stay with me and everything. And it's like, you know, they get to go outside and not have to worry about microaggressions from, you know, a neighbor who doesn't understand their culture, you know, riding down the street on their bike and, oh, he might be too close to the car, so now he's calling the police or throwing rocks or something like that. And, you know, they can really just be free, like literally be free. Not, you know, you go outside and you don't have to worry about where they're at. I mean, you're going to want to know, you know, just because, but you don't have to worry about where they're at, like really worry. Because I remember my dad was in the military. I used to leave the house at 8 o'clock in the morning and not show up until noon. Like, no one ever worried about where I was. I mean, my parents never showed the interest. They showed the interest, but they weren't worried. I know they weren't worried. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the safe haven is for me. And also, this whole land, you know, this whole experience is not just a safe haven. It's more of like retribution. Like, we're getting land back. We're taking land that was taken away from people in my family from years ago. Like, I'm like, as this is becoming, you know, as I'm getting more involved with this, you know, I'm talking to my family members and knowing more because they know I'm involved with this. And they're telling me stories of things that happened to them, you know, in the 40s and the 50s, how land was literally just taken from them. Like, you know what, this is not yours anymore. I'm taking it. You can't do anything about it. You know, so I'm like, wow, I didn't even, like, I had no idea this even happened in my family. But now I'm learning about the history of my family, and not just mine. It's so many people in the South who have land, like, literally taken from them. Like, just because they were Black. No other reason than that. Just because you're Black, I want this land. It's mine now. So all these, like, you know, especially in Concord, Georgia, and it was owned by one family, but that one family literally was taking land away from Black people. Like, it was wild. Like, my generation's a part of that. Like, my cousin, one of my older cousins remember, he literally remembers the house burning down because they burned it down in order to get that land. Like, it was that serious. So it was like, wow. I had no idea. Like, you know what I'm saying? None of these conversations were had just because, you know, they kind of wanted to get rid of those memories. And now this has kind of brought them back up. And like I told them, like, you know what, I'm going to speak for you guys. I'm going to make sure that, you know, people know your story. And I'm this land is for y'all, too. So you can come over here and get some red dirt, play wherever you want to do. You know, so that's how it is for me as well.
Yeah, just going through that process, discovering that, and now
yes,
look how it's turned. That's crazy. That's amazing.
Hey, actually, let me ask you this, because this sounds like a very costly project as far as, like you said, even the sewage system, like $1 million. So can you get loans for this type of project?
Yes,
or
we can get loans for this kind of project.
Can you talk about, like, how does somebody get a loan for something that's not built? Like, well, how does that work? Like,
yeah. So, I mean, first of all, we're in rural land, so we get USDA opportunities for our agricultural development.
USDA loans. We haven't talked about that yet, but that's something that people should be very aware of,
especially if you're talking about building a house in the rural area. That's a zero down payment.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, USDA? Yeah.
Oh,
about that?
Sure.
Yeah,
for sure. So the United States Department of Agriculture pretty much guarantees that you go through a bank, your traditional bank. You let them know that I'm purchasing in this area. It's similar to, like, even a VA loan. You qualify for a VA loan by being a honorably discharged veteran, or you could be still in the armed forces, but it's a zero down loan. And our federal government backs those loans. So if you didn't pay it, they would be responsible for it. So the threshold for requirements are a little lower than traditional conventional loans. So that's why you're able to get that loan at zero down versus having to put your 20% down because the government backs it. You go through a regular bank, you can go through a land bank or what's known as an agricultural bank, a credit union, and you just say, hey, I want to purchase this land in this rural area. It does have to qualify based on the zip code it's in, but if it does meet those qualifications and you meet certain qualifications, then you'll be able to purchase it through their zero down program.
So you got the USDA loans. And any other type of, like, regular banks, they can loan, they'll loan money as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And so the key is to have a good credit score, make sure the people, if you're talking about getting a loan for your business, everybody in the business needs to also have good credit. So credit is essential. It's the essential thing in this game, is making sure that credit score, everybody should be shooting for at least a 700. I would love to see 800s. But the reality is, the thing that keeps a lot of people from progressing in life is the ability to leverage credit. And the way that you leverage credit is by having that credit score, and you have to show those income streams. You need to be able to show that you have cash flow and revenue streams coming in so that you can get as much credit as you possibly can. So right now we're at that place, because we're a brand new business, it's hard for us to get traditional credit right now without having assets and to show that we got income streams. We don't have income streams yet because we're building a town. Yeah. So that we have to take the route of working with a hard money lender. Mm. And that's private money that has a little less stringent underwriting. So there's a million ways to skin a cat. The most important thing is to make sure that your credit score is as high as it possibly can be. And so that leads me to, I'm a brand ambassador for a Black-owned, not Black-managed credit and business financing and funding company called Nove Money. And so that organization actually helps people to increase their credit score, helps them to establish business credit and access funding, because that's what we need to actually be able to build our businesses, is that good credit and that access to capital. And since venture capitalists traditionally are still not funding Black businesses,
especially women,
like, the all of the research is dismal. Even now, even after all these people came out and said Black Lives Matter, we ready to support y'all, nothing has changed in the venture capitalist space. So we have to have this ability to access money through our Black banks, like Unity Bank, like Citizens Trust Bank, One United Bank. Having those relationships, Unity Bank, and that credit score, because they can only do so much. Like, you can't go to the bank without no income streams and without and with poor credit. So it's up to us to make sure that we're educated, we're financially educated, that we understand the entire credit pie. Because the reality is, you could have missed a few payments. That's not the only way to increase your credit score. You can increase your credit score by opening additional lines of credit. You can increase your credit score by making sure your oldest line of credit doesn't close, that you keep that open forever.
History.
Your history. Like, there's these pieces to the pie that we have to become more educated about. And when we are able, every 800 creates 100,000 of leverage.
So when you and, shout out to Renee, because Renee's been emailing me back and forth. Shout out to her. When you and Renee were, quote unquote, drafting, is that some of the criteria? You were like, listen, guys, if you want to be a part of this, this is no,
I wasn't. It was an afterthought, like, that now we have to contend with.
Yeah, like, that land first.
Yeah, I'm a real estate agent. I'm like, look, we just gonna get this land. Yeah, who got the bread? Like, I was like, who got this check? And so everybody came up with the bread. We bought our land. Like, so no. In that case, no. We do have some people in our collective that has exceptional credit.
Yeah.
We have some people who have challenged credit. I'm just now getting to the place where I'm not so challenged, you know? Like, yeah. It's a journey, and we have to just be honest and have these kinds of conversations, right? Because it's not impossible. You just have to have the right education, the right partners, and accountability partners are everything. People like Kevin, when he started talking about his credit score, I'm like, I gotta get my game up. I gotta make sure I got my little self together. I'm like, I wanna be able to go get my RV too. So those are conversations that you have with, you know, like we keep saying, like-minded individuals. Yeah. We go further, faster together. That credit is everything.
Yeah, and I think it's dope because you're growing together, but you're also educating each other, right? So you didn't come in with that education, but now everybody's on the same plan and everybody's educating each other. I want to go back to the land because I heard and I read the first thing that you guys are doing is building out the agriculture and the farming. You talk about why that's so important?
Yeah. I mean, food is everything. Like, we watch enough Walking Dead. Stop playing with me, y'all. We watch enough Walking Dead and enough of these Hollywood shows to know when it all goes down and this fiat money start crashing, what we gonna need to eat and some water. So that's why farming comes first around here. Now, granted, we've been doing more events first because that's just a revenue stream that's quick and easy. Camp out events. We got dope musicians in our collective. My husband's a musician. Our friend Q is a dope songstress. My pastor and first lady are dope ministry and worship leaders. So we have dope events. Like, our jam sessions be lit. So, like, events are one of the first things that we've been doing because that's, like, the lowest cost barrier that we can start generating revenue from.
Just need the land.
Because you just need the land, right?
And so is that what the big black camp out is?
Yeah, and we thank y'all for coming to the big black camp out.
Yeah, let's talk about, like, because I'm like, yo, camping? You gonna get some people camping?
It was a lot of people. People came from all over the country. Yeah, so
tell everybody what it is.
So the Big Black Campout is our annual event where we are encouraging black families to get outdoors. We hashtag diversify outdoors because there's an entire black camping culture. Like, shout out to Melanated Camp, Black Urban Camp Weekend. It's so many black girls camp. Like, there's, we be outside. We be doing stuff. Like, like, I don't know why everybody try to act like we not out here getting this fresh air and living our best life in nature and outdoors, because we do. And so we have really cool people, outdoorsmen, sportsmen, and just regular folk who had never been camping before, who would have never went camping if it wasn't a group event. Because it's like, you know, like, I'm not going out there with no bears and boars.
They got the boars out there for real.
Yeah, we literally got wild turkey, wild boar, wild deer. And, you know, but camping together collectively is so dope. People really enjoyed it. And people brought their RVs. Like, it was so fun. And we had music. We had live performances. We had the vendors out. We really just enjoyed ourselves, and we're going to do it every year. It's going to just get bigger and better. Yeah,
people were so comfortable, they literally slept outside on the ground.
Yeah. When was it? When was it?
On Labor Day, right?
On Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. Are we talking like campfires and all that?
Yeah.
All of that. Everybody made their own campfire.
And that was a fundraiser to have the funds. Yeah. Okay. So are you guys recruiting, for lack of a better word, are you recruiting other people? Or, like, if somebody is saying, okay, I want to be part of this movement, part of this community, do they go online and sign up? Can they make donations? Like,
how they get drafted?
I'm gonna give y'all a little secret sauce because I like y'all. It's two ways you get drafted, right? First way is the easiest way. Go to www.freedomgeorgia.com. There's a bunch of check boxes. Click a form for whatever you're interested in: buying land, being a resident, being a strategic partner. Or business owner,
volunteers.
There's a lot of options. So if you want to get involved, go to freedomgeorgia.com. But if you really want to be down with us, like really want to be down with what we're doing, we have partnered with a national nonprofit organization called the Black Achievement Fund. The Black Achievement Fund is a simple concept: 10 million black folks giving $9 a month. That's less than Hulu. That's less than Netflix. You got $9. That's less than your coffee you spend on a weekday. We can create a sustainable income of $90 million a month, where we can then create our own communities with our own money. We don't got to owe nobody nothing but to love them. And if we can create this with this just $9 membership, we're offering grants, business loans, we'll be building businesses of much needed services like dentist offices and administrative offices that just by being a member that pays $9 a month, you'll be able to access these services at no cost or at cost.
A dope history lesson included.
And a dope history. Yeah, so the president and the founder of the Black Achievement Fund is an exceptional historian from Cornell University. He has conceptualized this, tested this. There's research that went into this, that this is how we build for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we are designated, so you can make a tax-deductible donation and designate the Freedom Georgia Initiative. And whenever we do anything, Black Achievement Fund members hear about it first, because that's how you put your money where your mouth is. This is how we create economic power. This is how we create political power, by joining together and putting our money where our mouth is. And it's just $9. And that little gift, that donation that you're going to get to write off anyway at the end of the year, that's going to make a big impact for our communities. And it comes with benefits. Membership has benefits. So you can go to www.baf.solutions and you can really, really be a part of joining this movement by contributing that $9 a month.
So, let me ask you this. So, all right. So when did you guys think it's going to be up and running? Like, as far as like, when are we breaking ground on the first house or the first road, or what does come first? Like, is the houses come first? Does the farm come first?
The farm comes first. So the first thing that we're doing is the farmhouse, because we have a master farmer that is a part of our collective. And to be perfectly honest, like, until we can liberate her from the corporate plantation, she can't come farm. So we got to build her a house. We got to make sure she's got a salary. And then we can start the farming, because someone's got to be there around the clock to actually farm that land and, you know, make sure it's growing the right way, that's getting the right water, that the pollination is going away. Because sometimes you have to self-pollinate these days because the bees is disappearing. We got a lot of bees on our land, though, so we good.
That's good.
We got plenty of bees. Mm-hmm. But you do need someone there to tend the land. Like, we have to steward the land. So the very first step is to make sure that the person who's qualified, our certified master farmer, has the ability to live there and do that. So as soon as we can, we're going to be putting our farmhouse, and that'll actually serve as an income stream, because we'll be able to Airbnb it and invite guests and visitors to come enjoy the land. And then we'll have the farming and start our the next step from there will be our teeny retreat center. Like, we want to have teeny cabins, so that way people can, because being the land is gorgeous. If we don't do nothing else but just come and hang out and just spend time on the land, that experience alone is worth every penny, because it's just so nice. And so by creating this agritourism and ecotourism economy first, we'll begin to start putting the houses and the vacation homes, the retirement homes. Every phase leads to the next phase.
So how often, because I remember when we were talking, it was like, hey, I'm not going to be on the land that day. How often is somebody, I guess, out of the 19 families actually on the land? Is there somebody always there?
Nah. That's what we'd be like, stop calling us and stop showing up to our land, y'all. Like, do not just come jumping up. Yo, people crazy.
That's called trespassing.
Yeah, we got signs up now. Stop trespassing on our land, y'all. People just driving around.
Taking video.
Oh, that's it right there.
Yeah.
I think that's the tree I saw.
That's that tree. Don't come to our land unless we invite you. Like, people call us all the time, but we are not there. We got regular jobs. Like, one of the things we say all the time is, like, we regular people, even though we're not regular. You know, we're not really regular.
We're a little regular.
We're a little regular, not really. You know, we're exceptional people, but we regular, you know? Like, so we got jobs. Like, my husband works for MARTA, so we don't be at the land every weekend. We go when we got something to do. When we got, like, so we're this weekend that we're getting ready to be there, we're building a sweat lodge because we're getting ready to have an event called a Black Girl Magic Retreat. It's a private event that we're hosting. And then we have our Freedom Fall Festival coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So whenever we have an event, it brings us to the land.
Okay. Like,
when we got something going on. We ain't got nothing going on, we ain't there.
I heard this and I'm like, how's this pot? Well, obviously you have a topography guy, somebody that's doing it, maybe obviously engineers. You're going to create a lake?
Yeah.
That's gonna be that's gonna be amazing.
biggest.
How we do that?
That's gonna be amazing.
Well, we are lucky enough to have a creek already on the land, and so there's a couple of ways it can happen. Like, we'll have to dig first. Like, digging is the major thing. If we're lucky enough, we'll hit a spring or aquifer that might actually make the lake happen for us. Like, that would be the most ideal situation.
Yeah.
Ooh, we hit a spring. Woo, that would be lovely.
Or we got to fill it ourselves.
Or we have to fill it up ourselves. We'll be calling Moses West, like, hey, let me holler at that water atmospheric generator.
We're going to need about 1 million gallons, guys.
Yeah, we're going to need about 1 million gallons. And then that's how you fill it up. You order the water, you fill it up. It's some things that we might have to gravel it, or we might have to put some clay. It's probably clay. It might already be clay, because we kind of, it's funny enough, the street is called Little Sandy Creek. So it's probably not what we want, which is sand, because sand means the water would constantly filter out of it. We'd have to keep filling it back up, or we'll have to amend the soil in such a way that we have enough clay that it keeps the water in there. So it's a lot of engineering. I'm not the expert, but we have people who are.
Yeah, we have some people on the team that are doing that part.
One of our elders, we call her Prophetess Carolyn Sunny. Every week, that's her. She's a fisherman, and her husband, they own a boat. They go fishing all the time. So right now, they okay, because the Oconee River is right there. So they good. They bring their boat down. They go on the river. But they like, look, this lake though, that's the only thing they worried about right now is this lake. And I'm like, I promised them a lake. That's how I knew they was going to sign up. That they wanted a lake, because, like, I'm a marketer. So I was like,
they will come.
I was like, I know who I want, and I know what they hot buttons is. So I was like, we gonna put this lake on this presentation.
Let me ask you this, because any of you guys can answer this. We always hear, like, Georgia. Obviously, Georgia and Atlanta is different. Like, Atlanta is like the black haven, but once you go outside of Atlanta, it's like
totally
it's a whole different environment. So you guys are outside of Atlanta in the country. We've heard so many stories about the South, the rural South, the country. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's.
It's true.
So, how's the hospitality been? Oh. And being that you're looking to buy more land, do you think that now that people know what you did, like, that they'll be reluctant to sell?
No, they're happy to sell all the land. Like, people are always happy to make money. Like, that don't never change. Like,
that's one thing they all care about, is that green.
Right.
The folks down there are welcoming, though. Everyone in that area and that county, Wilkinson County, they're real, real nice.
They're very family oriented, because this is the kind of place, like, Wilkinson County has 9,000 residents.
Okay.
So they got three schools, Wilkinson High School, Wilkinson Middle School, Wilkinson Elementary, for 7 cities.
Yeah. So everybody goes to the same school.
They're
literally just walk onto your property as if they've known you.
Like, they know you.
They've done that.
I'm not used to that.
It's like, sir.
At all.
And now they do all walk. It's the country, so they all walk around with guns. The right to bear arms is big. Like, and that's anybody. The white folks, black folks, everybody got. We got guns. We have guns. We protect our Second Amendment rights. We got guns. And.
to be clear,
just so y'all know,
legal. We all are legal. Like, we're veterans. Like, we got guns. You know how we do. So
we're creating the laws.
So everybody's been cool. Everybody's been kind. Like I said, it's a diverse community. It's lots of good black folks. Lots of good white folks. Everybody. It's not even really about color. It's about a culture. And they got that kind of small town culture that makes you feel at home, makes you want to be there. Like, every time I go, I feel like I'm going home. Like, it feels so good whenever we get to
Absolutely. There have been people that came to the land and got lost. And one of the locals just in their pickup truck was like, yeah, we found some people over here. I think they're looking for you.
How'd you know?
Exactly. Like, how do you know?
I mean, they come right to the land, like they've been in.
Like they've been up, and they probably have because it's a big hunting community, and so, like, they be hunting, so they know this land.
We're gonna do it too, but wild turkey hunting and boar hunting.
Yeah, dove hunting.
Yeah, the boar is interesting.
Some of the, I guess, not feedback, but harsh criticism of it is that. Oh, you guys are building a black community. But I like the word you said, allies.
Yes.
So it's not that it's just for black people. Mm-hmm. You will have people of other races.
Our allies.
But I'm going to take care of the world I know.
Yeah.
So that's the purpose of it, right? There's going to be diversity as well.
Absolutely. Where are you you go where we ain't got diversity?
But like, you know, I don't even see why it even has to be diverse, because you go to Chinatown,
right?
And there's no diversity, and nobody says anything. Yeah, it's not a big deal. Just Chinatown, every major city in America and the world, early, all early, over the world.
Yeah. Nick County is ours.
It's crazy because that was part of the criticism. Like when we put the post up, it was like, oh my God, this is racist.
I saw that.
Oh yeah,
I saw that on your page. Yeah.
Black people try to do anything. They try. It's always something that you're always trying to find something wrong with it to discredit it. Right. Mm. I mean, every time it's something, this is the problem with it, this is the problem with that. It's like, come on now. I mean, like you were saying, just Chinatown, no one going to complain about that. I know in New York, my wife's from Long Island, and we would drive around when I first met her, and she would, because I was like, you know, fascinated with New York and all that. And she would just show me these places where even if you had the money, you can't live there. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not, you know, Italian or from China, you know, China, whatever the case may be, they don't want you in there, you're not going to live there. So no one goes to complain about that at all. I mean, it's just the way it is. But we want to have a city, and all of a sudden we're this and we're that. It's just like, come on now.
Well, you know, that's the reason why, I think that's a big reason why we even did this, all right? Because, yeah, I'm born in Trinidad, but I grew up in Brooklyn. One of my friends wanted to get a brownstone in the Bed-Stuy area, and she had to go through one of her allies to get it.
Yeah.
They literally would not sell to her. She showed up in her blackness, you know? She's an Afro-Latina. And they were like, oh, yeah, it's just missed it. You know?
Not for sale.
Not for sale. It's we had another buyer, whatever. Whatever the story was, she showed up with one of her allies. Boom. Paperwork done. Bought. So wow. Just to talk about what you were saying, yeah, there's a little China, a little Italy, you know, all of these different places. Nobody say anything about that. When a construction company and a whole subdivision goes up, it's not a white subdivision. It's just a subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
Just happen to be melanated. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I don't really see the big deal, but apparently I know where we are. I know
I think
society,
it's because of,
you know,
the
mean?
Fact that that's we said it. Like, mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, we said it out loud is the problem. Like, and it's not, and it shouldn't be a problem.
Nah,
because
be like
what we typically see is they discriminate through finances. Because
mm-hmm.
if you put a $300,000 house up, most people who look like us can't afford it. And those who can, when they do buy it, they probably are going to feel very unwelcome.
It ain't going to be 300. It's going to be like 400.
Exactly. It might be 500, 600.
Exactly.
Especially when we start talking about gated communities and top areas with the best schools, we get priced out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have to call it a white community. They just call it a rich community. And if you happen to be black and get in there, they're going to make you feel unwelcome.
They're going to be one of a few, and then you're going to have a kid, especially if they're dark skin. They're going to, you get a dark skin kid, you put in that area, it's going to be total chaos for them.
Yeah, you're going to wonder why they constantly
gravitate towards this. Now I'm going to get
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because that's something that we haven't been able to control the narrative in the initial stages, These news agencies, they want, hot.
Sensational.
Yeah, sensational. They want to sensationalize it, And it was like, I saw one posting that says, 19 black families buy some land in Wilkinson County. But the black was like bold in a different font, three sizes bigger. And I'm like, here we go. And then that's where you get those comments from. Yeah, it's a town built by black people. But that don't mean if you're not black, you're not welcome. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, just want to throw that out there. It's not reverse racism and all this other stuff. It's just we trying to be the change we want to see in our society. And our society hasn't been showing that for us, so we're going to do it ourselves.
To freedom.
Simple.
To freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom. To freedom.
40 acres and a mule.
To freedom.
100 acres and a mule. Did you get the mule?
Well, we going to get us
stable.
We'll have a stable of champion breeding horses if we're lucky, but
and boars.
We
definitely got some boars.
We look forward to a wonderful relationship with a heavy equipment company because we ain't got time for mules. We gonna need heavy equipment, some construction stuff. All right,
that's a fact.
Give us a call, Cat.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. I want to give you guys the floor to speak to the people. But before that, I do that. Greg, I have to ask you a question.
For sure. Because
I learned something interesting. Not only are you a gentleman and a scholar, But you're also an EYL University member.
So the family. He's an earner.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Give it up for him, please.
I thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're gonna do an in episode prompt to ad. So how was your experience for orientation?
Orientation was amazing. Janet really did her thing. It was just like like I was telling you earlier, if it wasn't for that, I just felt like I wouldn't have had the guidance to even move forward. I would have been, you know, still figuring out what I would have been wanting to do and, you know, which way I wanted to move. I'm looking forward to the accountability partners that she chooses for us. I'm looking forward to the book club. I'm looking forward to hearing all of Ian's, it's funny that you know him. I didn't know you knew him too, but I'm looking at all his videos and I can't wait for that. So the orientation was amazing. So I can't, whenever the next one is, I might just want to look at it anyway.
There you have it. EYL University, the biggest online platform amazing. In the universe.
That's dope,
yes.
Man.
Yes, yes, yes. Black owned.
By the way.
So what would you guys like to tell? I mean, you kind of told the information before, but any last encouraging words for people that may want to start their own or may want to join you or like, you know, what is your message that you would like to just give, clear up any misconceptions that you would just want to just give to the public? And how can they contact you guys? Like, how can they social media handle, stuff like that?
I'll start off. My Instagram is Freedom Georgia Initiative. My Instagram
is actually Freedom GA 2020.
I'm sorry.
Actually, playing.
Freedom GA 2020. My personal Instagram. My Instagram is God's Favorite 56. But I just want the people to know that we're here for everybody. We're here to make this city a real thing. This is not just something that we're doing for a hot moment in history. This is something that we're going to continue to do the rest of our lives. I mean, this is something that we're all. We bought into this. We have no, there's, I'm not gonna say there's no way out, but there's really no way out.
You gotta get jumped out. You ain't leaving. Like, they live in perpetuity.
Like a death row contract.
That's from Philly, by the way.
I am from Philly.
She's from Philly, y'all. She ain't from Atlanta.
We made each other with this one right here. There's really no way out of this. And so, you know, this is something that we're doing for the long run, and we want everyone's support. I mean, the support from everyone that we've been getting has actually been fueling us to move faster. It's like, to move. You know, yeah, faster and more dizzy than what we were doing before. And it's like, wow, people are wanting us to succeed, and that energy is propelling us forward. So it's like, man, we can't lose. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Oh, Ashley?
Kevin?
Kevin?
Right. Kev. New York zone.
Absolutely. So the beautiful thing about being part of this initiative is that we get to pick and choose the things that interest us. I know at the beginning I was asking Ashley, so what's next on the vision? She was like, whatever you want to do, Kev. I was like, whatever you want to. She was like, yeah, freedom, Georgia.
Freedom, Georgia.
I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. So my interests are specifically in sustainability, technology. You know, this is staying on the forefront of these things will propel us into the next generation. Yeah. Absolutely. We got the land. Now it's time to implement a lot of those things. I mean, sky is not the limit, all right? Shout out to Jessica Mobile
Enterprises. Shout out to Jessica Mobile Enterprises.
So for everybody that's listening, you know, if you've ever, you know, if you ever had those plans that, you know, you all were saying, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next year, or you're making all of these excuses, you know, just stop. Now's the time. You know, we're doing it. And we didn't have the whole plan mapped out, you know, but by starting it, it's kind of forcing us to get to know each other, you know, at an accelerated rate, you know, all of the press is forcing us to do that, learning these different techniques and you know, I'm forever a student. So my thing is, now is the time. Don't wait tomorrow. Don't wait next year. I mean, I never thought a pandemic was going to hit.
Right.
What is that? That's stuff that happened not here. You know what I mean? In the movies. Like, yeah. But no, here we are. And there's over 200,000 people who are no longer here with us. That's where all of the wealth is. They say the wealthiest place of knowledge is in the graveyard because we don't know about it. You know, they're dead and gone, and now that knowledge is dead and gone with them. So do yourself and do us a favor and don't go to the grave with that knowledge. Let's share it. Let's organize. Let's get together. You have the website. It's freedomgeorgia.com. You know, if technology and sustainability is your thing, you know, make sure that You want to come speak to Kevin, all right? Just put that in the email, and we'll reach back out to you.
I will send him the email.
You will definitely do that. You know, we're looking for volunteers. We're looking for people to really make this happen. So if this is something that, you know, you don't want to start your own or you want to be a part of, or even if you want to start your own, let's have that conversation. So that's the thing that I would leave people. That let's keep the conversation going because it really is all in conversation. All right?
I agree, Kevin. And I love what you said, keep the conversation going. That's what I would say is my biggest piece is my goal, my entire hope is to inspire Black folks to create generational wealth and legacy through asset building. The biggest asset in this time is land. Land and real estate. Listen. Land.
Children are listening.
And real estate. And the reality is for us to finally begin to create for ourselves the lives that we want, it starts with generating wealth for ourselves, income streams, revenue streams that give us the power and the ability to create and manifest the life that we deserve. So get on board with us. I teach a class called How to Buy Land Using Group Economics. Email me, visit me at ashleyscotthomes.com. You can visit us at freedomgeorgia.com and absolutely sign up for the Black Achievement Fund at www.baf.solutions. And if you want to connect with me, I am Ashley Scott on Instagram and Facebook, Ashley Scott KW. And I love to talk about real estate, land, and assets and business. So hit me up. I'm really excited to really do what we're doing and make a meaningful impact. I think we're about to change the world, particularly we're about to make a big change for Black America.
Sure.
Yeah, we got to get you to teach that class at EYL University.
Yes. Now we're talking. Happily.
That's going to be a good one. Yeah, your DMs are going to be blowing up.
I wanted to say this too. We are going to be at the land tomorrow. If y'all did want to come out there and take a look at
come
it.
Come on.
Just let you know.
Okay.
Invite's open.
Got a camera crew with us. So I think maybe we will.
Let's do it. Troy,
that'd be dope.
Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah, I just want to say shout out to Kev for being sitting next to me. They put the two bald heads. Now, before.
Common misconception.
You know what I'm saying, man?
Some people think I'm bald, but I have a low Caesar. I haven't lost my hair yet.
Yeah, man, but before Instagram goes crazy, we are not related. Just wanted to say that.
True.
But we are brothers here in this fight. Economic empowerment. So shout out to everybody that is on our Patreon. That is our Proud to Pay program. We got a new top earner on there. So shout out to Aaliyah. She is the newest member. She joined at Tier 5, so she has access to EYL University. So shout out to everybody that's on there. Our top earner over here, my man Greg. It is the number one business school in the world, man. We take a lot of pride in making sure that that continues to stay that way. So shout out to everybody, all the earners. And shout out to everybody supporting the merch. I see that we are growing, and I can't wait, man. I want to put it out. I want to put out our new collection. It is coming. It'll be here, hopefully, very soon. I'll just say very soon. I'm looking forward to it so we can get it in your hands because it represents you, it represents us, and it represents this entire movement we have that's growing. So looking forward to it. Thanks for supporting that.
Yeah, so it's been a pleasure, guys. Don't forget to like, subscribe, whether you're watching on YouTube, Apple, Spotify. Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.